Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Everyone deserves a chance in the driver's seat. For GM and Revolt, that means leading the way on the road to an all-electric future and envisioning a world with zero crashes, zero tailpipe emissions, and zero congestion. GM's committed to making EVs accessible for everybody. That means you too. So what are you waiting for? GM's got the keys. You grab the wheel. Learn more about an all-electric future and the 000 initiative at GM.com. GM, everybody in.
Niggas scared to make that move. Can't relate to that. I roll the dice, shit. If I lose, I'm gonna be shaking back. Cause lessons learned within the loss just elevate the fact that trial and error just the only way. Ain't no escaping that. I wake up, hit 100 push-ups, then I'm at my route. Check on my stocks, see how they looking, then I'm sliding out. When you start seeing your progression, you stop having doubts. And what's the point of having clout? You can't cash it out. True to this game, and I'm a lifer, ayy. Feel like we finna change the cycle, ayy. That's the most success, you know we thriving, ayy. That's the most depression for our rivals, ayy. Could teach a lesson on survival, ayy. You know I'm from the bottom.
What's good, everybody? Your boy David Bellard, 1/4 of the Black Wealth Renaissance crew. Back at it again for another episode in H-Town. Here with the crew, Jalen, Kelly, and Jared. Fellas, how y'all feeling, man?
Feeling good. Got some drink. Yeah, great.
Got
man.
That drink in my cup.
Yeah, one time for Kirko. But I'm feeling great, man. Like, the energy's been amazing. It's been really great just to be back on, back
feel like old
in the
times,
podcast.
Man.
Like, we in person, though. Like, the energy's good, amazing,
man.
Bro.
It feel good, man.
Back at it again with the season 4.
And once again, y'all, like Jared just said, it's season 4, and we back again with some more pressure.
Everything in person, too. So y'all make sure y'all subscribe to our YouTube as well.
Yeah, hit that subscribe button.
Yes, sir. And hit leave us that 5-star rating and review while you're at it. But like we just said, man, more pressure on the way. This episode, y'all, highly anticipated and long overdue. This young brother here, if you watch him, you already see him. This man is a fucking legend, y'all. I don't know how else better to say it. He's the one and only, the real Tayon Tech.
Like Drake said, icon.
Legend. The real Tayon
Tech. Phenomenal.
Sensational.
Nah, you should have hit him with that. You may have seen him on TikTok. We're asking about those cars.
Hey, what car do you drive? But no, for real. Like, this brother here is really doing the damn thing. Became a millionaire during the pandemic, helping people get into high-paying jobs in tech, and like just really an all-around business extraordinaire, man. None other than the real Tayon Tech, Tavion Patton, man. Tay, how you doing, bro? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good, man. Nice to have me. You know, we finally getting it in now.
Yeah, it's crazy. We doing this in Houston instead of Dallas, where we all is.
I was thinking about that. I was like, damn, man, we all stay in Dallas. But then I was like, shit, I'm trying to get out of Dallas right now anyway. So it was perfect, really.
Yeah. Appreciate you for pulling up and driving, bro. So we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I had to. I couldn't miss this.
For sure, man. For sure. So, Tay, bro, man, we would just get right into it. To kick this off, man, for everybody who may be under a rock and they're unfamiliar with you, bro, let them get an introduction to you and, like, how did you become Tayon Tech?
All right. So from, like, the beginning or, like, just...
Give us from the beginning, bro.
I need to understand how this dude from Mississippi pulling up in the McLaren, bro. I need you to break it down.
All right, now, so let me see where I can start at. Because it pretty much started when I moved over to Texas. Because, like, I'm from Mississippi, as everyone probably know by now. Don't really come from anything. Single family, single mother, for the most part. Father wasn't around. Mother, you know, I didn't, like, want for anything, but you know, we didn't really have money like that, you know, government assistance and stuff like that. But yeah, so I pretty much started when I was 18 or even through high school. During high school, flipped shoes, fixed iPhones, and during that time, it just I was making like a lot of money just like from the iPhones. Everybody knew me, oh, Tay, like the tech guy, he's jailbreaking the iPhones, he's fixing the iPhones. So I was making like a pretty dime off just doing stuff like that. And so then I kind of started getting to like the shoe fetishes and stuff like that. And I think I still remember my first shoe I flipped with some red foam posits. I had bought like 160. That was like kind of yellow soles, stuff like that. Need to be fixed up a little bit. And I sold like 220. And I was like, dang, like, it's really money into flipping shoes. And no, this one, Jordan, was like 160, and you can flip them for 220. Right, right, yeah, right. It was like 150, 220 and stuff like that. And then I had like friends that work at Foot Locker, Finish Line and stuff like that. So yeah, I was sliding them like $20-$30 here. And then, you know, military discounts. I had a friend that was in military. So I was getting like military discounts as well as getting the shoes. So I was buying the shoes for like 120, 130, selling for like 220. And so I just started flipping shoes off that. And then, like, I had got into this competition. I don't know if you guys remember, but the Paranormal Foams.
Yeah.
You had to submit, a picture of you being weird as a kid. And I was like in a shirt or whatever with my earrings, and I was just like eating some bologna or something like that, just standing up. And I submitted and I won, but I didn't get my size, so I ended up selling them for like $1,500. So I'm like, damn, like this is really like it's really in there. And so I started like dealing with these bots. I got like a couple pair of red October Yeezys.
Oh,
I sold them. Yeah, I sold them like three racks. So I bought my first car off shoe money, for the most part. Yeah, I bought my first car off shoe money. And so, and a lot of people don't really know that about me. I never really talk about me flipping shoes or fixing iPhones or anything like that. They always hear from when I was like, oh, like, you know, 18, 19, you starting into the stocks and stuff like that. And so at this time, like, I'm like 16, 17 years old right now. And I was like, all right, I have a little cash right now and stuff like that. Like, at a point, my mom was like, what are you doing to get all this money and stuff like that? Like, I was working. And I'm like, nah, mom, like, I'm really making money flipping shoes. And she was like, what? And I was like, look, like, I started my PayPal account. Like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And I was also, I wasn't of age yet. So I had to use my mom information for PayPal. So I was on there, you know, PayPal they be tripping sometimes.
Hell yeah.
And stuff like that.
Still.
Like I had went out to college, and I turned 18, and at the time I was running track as well too. So I wasn't able to kind of go to like releases. I had track meet, so it's like, hey man, I need to really find out the way how I can make money and stuff like that. And so that's when I kind of got introduced to stocks. I started researching, looking up stocks and stuff like that. I wasn't trading then. So I was just pretty much just putting money in there, just holding it, just like pretty much letting it kind of build up. And I was really just kind of like living off money that I had made off the shoes and stuff like that. And then my mom would send me money here and there. And I was just like, nah, bro, I got to really start like figuring a different way how to do that. So this actually didn't come until I moved over to Texas. Like I actually came out here, moved to Texas. I was like, because originally, when I was my first year of college, I was going to a college called University of Mobile, and they didn't have an engineering program there. Like they had like business computer information systems or something like that, but it wasn't really like
enough.
Enough. So I was like, I have like family out here in Texas or whatever. So I was like, I want to move to Texas, but my mama, she wasn't for it. She was like, you're not moving to Texas. I was like, you don't know it. Like I came out here like in May, like after nationals and stuff like that. I came out here like May, June sometime. At the time, she didn't know I had already asked for my release every day. Yeah, I was gone. She didn't know, but I was gone. But I came, as soon as I came out here, I got a job at Walmart. 2 weeks later, I got a job at Target. So I was working two jobs. I was working overnight at Target from like 10 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Stocking.
Yeah. And then I would go to work at Walmart from 9 a.m. to like 2, 3 p.m. So I was like, I would dare, like, when I leave Target, I'm going to go to Walmart, sleep in the parking lot for, like, hours, try to get me a nap, go straight to work. I did that for about 2-3 months, trying to build up my capital, build up money and stuff like that, because I'm like, all right, I know when schools start up, I'm not going to have as much time as work and stuff like that, but I ended up, did have time to break and stuff like that, because I was pretty much taking a lot of online classes, and then after that, I was like, all right, cool, like, Tech is kind of, that's when I really started like researching like what degree I really wanted to do, because I knew I kind of wanted to do something engineering, but I was like, because I was also still like trying to run track and stuff like that. I was coming out here to originally run for TCU, but then I turned my meniscus in MCL, so they wanted me to walk on, and TCU, like 40 grand a year.
I was about to say, that's an
expensive. So I was like, nah, I ain't doing it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to Tarrant County. I went to JUCO there, junior college there, and that's when I just started really honing in. I'm like, all right, well, sports not going to work out. I'm injured, obviously. I'm not, at this point, I don't really care to do it no more because I'm not in love with it. So I was like, what can I really do to make money? Like, I just started thinking. I was like, it was good, like, with the flipping the shoes and all that stuff like that. But I was like, how far is that really going to take you? Like, and I just started thinking, I was like, well, it's something that's going to always be around. Because I always thought, like, because when I was back at home, everyone that went to, like, business marketing, business management, the most they was probably doing was, like, managers at retail stores and stuff like that. And I'm just like, do I really need a degree for that? Exactly.
Could have went to work straight out of high school.
Exactly. Exactly. So why would I go, you know, spend all this money for a degree just to go back and be a manager at Walmart? It doesn't make sense. And so I was like, I did like law for like a semester. Like I was like, you know, lawyer makes. But I was like, this is way too much reading. This is way too much research. I'm not doing it. So I was like, dude, just start running from, like, technology. You've been doing all this stuff. You've been taking apart laptops. You've been taking apart phones. You've been doing all this stuff. Dude, just go do tech. So in my head, I'm just like, all right, but this is going to be hard. Like, that's really what it is. Like, I know this. Like, I know the hardware. I know how to take an iPhone apart. I know how to take a TV apart. I know how to do this. But this is going to be hard. Like, I'm, like, coding out. It really, like, it kind of intimidated me. And I just started, like, doing, like, a little different research. Like, all right, what can I do in tech? So at first I was like, all right, cool, I want to be a network engineer.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
So I enrolled to the Cisco Academy at my junior college. Pretty much when you go through it, you get what's called a CC. At the time, it used to be the CCNT. They don't do it anymore, and the CCNA. So, like, all right, cool. So I did that. I was kind of working in the lab. So I was like, man, this shit boring. Like, I'm in a data center. This is all I'm doing. I'm just like, all right, cool. All right, cool, whatever. And so, like, the next year, it was, like, mandatory. I had to take, like, an intro to security class. And I was like, all right, cool, let me do this. I go in there. We start talking. Like, I think this was, like, the second or third day of class. And we started talking about ethical hacking. Like, you get paid to hack. I was like, man, that's not mine. Like, at this point, I was like, you get paid to do what? And he was like, yeah. It's called ethical hacking. Research it. Research it. Real thing. You got certifications. You got, like, governments that's paid for this. You got private companies that pay for this. I'm like, oh, this is lit. This is what I'm doing. Not realizing what I was getting myself into. But I was like, all right, cool. So I just started doing, like, the intro to security stuff. Pretty much just, let's really learn. Like, I really had, like, fell in love with it. Like, I'm up 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning researching in these labs, like, learning how to code, learning how to do all this stuff. Like, I think, like, before, like, I just really got financial literate. Like, this was, like, the most fun, like, I had when I was just literally, like, researching. Like, I would literally stay up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, have to go to class at 8 a.m and I just got through doing all these labs and stuff like that. And so I just really started falling in love with it. And so I saw a thing with the school that I went to. They had this thing where if you take a certain class, like, say, for instance, I would take an intro to security or intro to network class. If you pass the certification, they automatically give you an A. So in my head, I'm just like, all right, I'm already doing all this self-studying. I ain't really got to do no work in here. Like, I'm already staying up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So I was just like, all right, cool. I'm just going to show up to class, not really care what I'm doing, because at the end of the day, I'm still doing all this. I go pass certification, I automatically get an A. So I was doing that. Like, I had got like I had got my A plus certification. I got my network certification. I got my security plus, my Red Hat certified system administrator, as well as my CCNA, all while I was in junior colleges. Just to avoid from actually having to do the work. Class. Cause it's like, I'm already doing the work outside of class, but it's just like, I never really just had, like, when it comes to, like, technology and stuff like that, I feel like it's really hands on. Like, I don't really need to do all this research and take this quiz and take this test if I can pretty much show that I have the capability to, like, use my hands and actually do it. So I was like, cool. Like, I had kind of stopped going to class and everything. Don't do that, though. You know, I was staying up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning also doing this as well, too. I was already, like, self-teaching myself. Mm-hmm. And so when that came around, I wasn't going to go for my four-year degree. I was just like, cool, like, I got this, I'm good. Like, I had job offers and everything. I'm always like, because I also had credits from my last school and stuff like that. And so I started looking at schools, because UTA, I was going to originally go to UTA because I was actually going to run track there, too, when I graduated. But that was like, we're not taking any of these credits, and I was going to have to do another 3 years in school. I was like, I already didn't want to go to school anyway.
Yeah.
So I researched UNT. UNT would take all my credits. I find a way to finesse my degree to where I don't have to take any science. I don't have to take any math classes. I don't do nothing. Like, I pretty much left UNT with an engineering degree without having to do any of the math and science for it. What and so, yeah. Damn. So, so the thing about UNT, the school that I particularly went to was they had these things or your prerequisites where you have to do, like, say, for instance, if I want to take a program in one class, I have to take physics and calculus one. And I was like, okay, cool. That's two classes. Well, three classes I got to pay for, and it's not cheap. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me try to find a way to do this. Oh, it's a community college right here, and there's no prerequisites for it. So I would go take the intro to program class there, transfer it over, and straight, all right, cool. It transfers over. You said it transferred directly over for this class. Let me go into the next class. Do that. So then I had got to another program class. It was like, all right, you need calculus 2, and I think you need physics 2 and some other class. I was like, well, I don't have either one of those. Just so happened that college had just started offering that semester. I was like, cool, that's what I'm doing. So, yeah, so, like, I was really, like, taking class. And it was cheaper, too. The class was, like, $300, $400 versus, like, $1,500, $1,300. I was like, cool. So I'm saving money. I'm saving time. And it also that allowed me to graduate from UNC in 3 semesters. So throughout my time there, like, I held, like, an internship every semester. So I ended from, like, my last year in junior college and all the way up to when I graduated from UNC. Like, I had interned with a company called Celanese, a company called McAfee, Citibank.
Like a security company?
Yeah. I work with them. Cisco Networks, intern with them. Southwest Airlines, I intern with them. So, like, I was literally like, hey, I'm going to try to get, like, an internship in every, like, space in the industry because security is done for each thing. Like, oh, yeah, and also for Baylor Scott and White, the hospital as well, too. So I was like, all right, let me learn the HIPAA laws. Like, let me learn, like, the compliance and the gas. Like, let me see how it's done in, like, the tech space. Let me see how it's done in the airline space because everything is literally different when it comes to compliance and stuff like that. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, let me do this. So fast forward to that, like, the summer before my last semester, I ended my internship with Cisco, and it turned around, they gave me a full-time offer. But what they was trying to do was they were trying to bring me as an undergrad on an undergrad program. And in my head, I had already said, like, and I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, you've been arrogant. But I wasn't taking anything less than 6 figures, like, honestly. Like, because I already knew, like, I had all this experience. I knew when I came into a program or came into a company, it wasn't me trying to, like, catch on and stuff like that. I knew as soon as I came into the company, I was going to make a change in there. And so I wasn't going to no undergrad program. I wasn't doing that. I was specifically trying to go in as a mid-level analyst, engineer, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so it was this company called Optiv Security, or Optiv. They had reached out to me, like, a previous year before, and they were trying to hire me. And I was like, hey, no, I'm still in school. And they was like, okay, cool. We're going to circle back around, like, this semester before you graduate. In my head, I'm like, all right, bro, whatever. Yeah. I kid you not. As soon as my internship ended and, like, a week before school started, they was like, hey, how's it going? like, you know, we said we was going to reach back out to you. How's it, like, you know, are you still, like, interested in a job? Have you signed in a job offer yet? I was like, no, but I'm actually interviewing with, like, a couple of companies right now. And this at the time, I also had an offer from Google as well, too, in Mountain View. But I, like, so I'm getting to that. So I had an interview with them. And I pretty much, I'm like, hey, this is my last semester. And she was like, oh, like, would you be open to, like, direct your last semester or anything like that? I was like, yeah, I only got 3 classes, and they all online. Cool. Like, kid you not, man. I interviewed, like, 4 different teams, and every team wanted me. And I was like, it's cool. So, I actually, like, it was weird. I was actually pinning the teams against each other to give me the highest offer. So, it was like, this one team that was like, oh, yeah, like, this was for, like, working remote and stuff like that. It was like, you get 2 days work remote, and we'll give you 80-something.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool. So this other company, Citibank, that's going to give me $90,000 or whatever with, like, a 5K sign-on bonus. But Google, that was going to give me $135,000. So, but it's in Mountain View. So what I did was I had leveraged that, my Google, because, I mean, obviously that was the most money. They had the stocks and stuff like that. So I leveraged that Google, I mean, that offer with Optiv. And I was like, hey, check this out. I understand, you know, there's going to be a pay difference. You know, you have taxes and stuff like this. But if you guys can give me this much money, I'll sign with y'all. So they ended up giving me $95,000. I asked for $100,000, but they gave me $95,000. They gave me a $10,000 sign-on bonus, and I also got a 10% performance bonus. So all in all, like, my, yeah. So I ended up getting like $109,000, like $110,000 per year. Mm-hmm. And my math all is cool, but y'all get the. But
six,
yeah.
Six figures at 21. Yeah.
What's all that damn matter?
So you can see that the math wasn't essential.
So I'm like, all right, cool. So after I like started doing the math and stuff like that, I'm like, all right, $145,000 after all the taxes, or $135,000 after the taxes and stuff like that.
That's good money.
It's like $80,000.
Yeah.
I mean, $80,000. Then, you know, you got rents out there. Like, Mountain View is not.
It's not gonna be cheap.
Yeah, it's $3,000 for the smallest shit. Yeah, like, yeah, it's $3,000. And I'm just like, nah, man. Like, it'd be good to have it on my resume and stuff like that. But I already, like, I'm really more so focused on, like, honing my skill. Because you go to a company like Google, bro, you're not really going to see your work like that. Especially me becoming as an entry-level engineer. I know I wasn't going to see that. Yeah, and that was going to burn the shit out of me, too. And I wasn't trying to do that. So I worked there for, like, 8 months. Also, this is, like, the most money I ever made in my life. So at this time, like, I mean, internships and stuff like that, when you're in tech, they're great. In $30-$35 per hour and stuff like that.
Internships? But this,
yeah, in tech.
Wow,
yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't
internship.
Know that.
Yeah, like, I think my highest paid intern, I got $42 an hour, and they gave me a 10K sign-on bonus.
Better than
the
Justin money.
Yeah.
but you
got to also think, though, it's only for like a three-month period. Like a semester or something. But still, though, it's really good money. And I was also negotiating my intern salary, I mean, my intern wages and stuff like that, because I would pin them against other people. Mm-hmm. So I end up pinning them against the team and stuff like that. Like, all right, cool, I'm going to go with this team. I really love what they're doing. I get to work from home. Cool. So at this time, this is like when my financial literacy kind of like I had to kind of learn it. Like I've never been done with money, but I was just spending money. Man, bro, I was going to the Christian Louboutin store every time I got a paycheck, I was buying new shoes. And I was just like, bro, like, I, bro.
How much are you dropping on shoes?
Man, I was spending like $1,200 on shoes, bro. Like $1,200 on shoes, bro. And then I never forget, bro, I bought a Louis Vuitton belt for $800. I think like $850. I was like, bro, that just bro, that
nigga, you can go buy two baby cars.
I went to Louis store one time when, like, I was in college. I walked in that bit. This is no bullshit. They had no prices on shit. I said, hey, ma'am, how much this belt cost? And she told me, young man, if you gotta ask, you can't afford it.
I kid you not, dog. And the thing about, I don't say this job for 8 months, but like, that it was just like, I would just spend, like, crazy thing about it. Like, I had just, my Challenger, I had like $4,000 left on it. I ain't been at, oh yeah, and, so let me rewind it. So also, while I'm still working and stuff like this, I'm still in school, and I'm still staying in student living. So, you know, in student living, rent like $600-$700 and stuff like that. Man. Bro, before I even got my first paycheck, I was like, I'm moving downtown Dallas. I go look. I break my lease. I pay somebody to move into my apartment at the student, cover their first month rent, and I moved into an apartment paying like $1,600 per month. It was high. It was nice as high rise. But and then, like, 2 months after that, I traded in my Challenger, which was almost paid off. Had like $4,000 left for now BMW. So, which I still got. Right. I need to get rid of it. Yeah, it's four. Yeah. So I still got it, but it was just like, dang, bro, you made like a lot of dumb decisions. Mm-hmm. And so I was just looking. I was like, bro, like, it was just one day I was like, that's thinking. I was looking at my account. I was like, bro, where the fuck is your money at? Like, bro, you have no responsibilities. Like, you have no kids. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, where are you spending money at? I go looking at my finances, going to bars, going to clubs. You spending your money on dumbass shoes, fucking Louis Vuitton. And it's just like, bro, like, you're making decent money, but you're not making enough money to be doing shit like this. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was just really like, all right, let me just kind of sit down, put my head down and let me just really focus on my finance stuff like this. And while I'm doing all of this, I'm documenting this on Twitter as well too. Mm-hmm. So like while I'm doing my internships, I'm writing this on Twitter. Like I'm literally, and this is for people just really started following me. This kind of initially started building it up. I'm like, oh, this is how I got this internship. Oh, this is what I'm doing. Like, this is, like, I pretty much kind of built my following, posting about my projects, posting, pretty much everything I was building was off, like, the tech stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, the finance income to, like, 2020 somewhere and stuff like that. And so one day, I'm pretty sure everybody know Ari and stuff like that. One day, she had hit me up, just, like, you know, like, trying to be a mentor. She was like, you know, there's, like, because at this time, this is when I used to wild out on Twitter and stuff like that. She was like, you know, there's, like, whenever you, like, really talk about, like, the stuff you're doing, like, the tech industry, and you're talking about, like, how you love yourself in life, it almost always go viral, and you just kind of, like, fuck around, do the little dumb shit, nothing happens. I was like, let me test this out. Kid you not. I made a thread how I got my first internship, went viral. I was like, say less. I'm gonna start talking about my tech experience. I'm start talking about that. That's when I kind of started cooling out with all, like, the BS and stuff. I mean, I still do it here and there now, but I wasn't doing as much. And so at that time, I'm like, all right, cool. Like, you know, I started like trading, like getting into Bitcoin. Like, I wouldn't actually, like, so when I was in Bitcoin and stuff like this, one of my coworkers, one of the interns, she was like, hey, bro, like, Bitcoin gonna blow up. Put some money in there. So this is like right before it went up to like $20,000 and stuff like that.
It's like the
2017. Yeah, exactly. So, I threw in like my entire sign on, but I was on like my entire sign on bonus and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, cool, let me do it. So off that, I think I ended up making like $30,000 off that. So I ended up pulling out about like $18,000. I haven't touched it since then because I didn't really know too much about it. I just know it was like this dude, he was showing me his Bitcoin portfolios. I'm like, oh, he really believe in it. Let me throw some money in there. And so I had seen it was like around like right for Christmas and stuff like that. Like, let me get some gifts and stuff like that. So I just pulled all my money out. And right when I pulled my money, I think like a couple weeks later, it crashed. I was like, damn, like, I got lucky. I was trying to do it to buy Christmas gifts and shit, but I was like, hey, I'm lucky, cool. So, you know, I had, like, you know, I kind of started off with, like, the 30 grand and stuff like that. I was like, all right, man, let me learn how to, like, trade and stuff like this. So, this is how I started doing Forex. So, this is before IML and all that. I was trading on Nadex. Yeah. So, I was on this platform called Nadex. Didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was pretty much gambling. I have messed around and because I ain't gonna lie, like when I get to kind of like trading stocks and stuff like that, I kind of don't have like this thing. I don't know. I ain't really scared. Like it's just like if I lose it, goddamn, I lost it. Like yeah. I'm like it's whatever. Yeah. I never really look at like stock money and stuff like that. It's real money. It's just like it's there, but I never really touch it. Like I would never like probably sell any of my stocks, and so I think I had messed around. I forgot exactly what I was doing, but I messed around. I flipped like $250 to like $1,000 in like 60 seconds. So basically what I was doing, you basically just bet like, is this currency pair is going to be over a certain amount of time at the end of 60 seconds? Didn't know what the hell I was doing whatsoever. I'm pushing buttons. I'm just like, well, it's going up right now, so let it go up. So, bro, I'm telling you, like, I was, like, back to back. Like, and I was like, let me actually kind of, like, learn this and stuff like this. So, I actually started learning how to trade and stuff like that. So, I'm like, I started making money. Started being, like, a little bit less riskier than what I was doing. And then one day, I was just like, man, fuck it. I'm going to just go all in. I put, like, 10 grand on it. I was hit. I put 10 grand in it. Lost it all. Ooh. I ain't touched Forex since.
That'll do it.
So I was like, all right, yeah, this not gonna do it. Like, cause at the point, like, I learned it, but I was never really ever comfortable with it. Cause it's like
Forex moves so crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Bro.
It's like, and I want to keep knowing like the real news and stuff that. And then it's just really, really too technical. So I was just like, you good in tech, like. And I got stocks, tech stocks. So I started investing heavily in like tech stocks and stuff like this. And so this like 2019. So like by this time, I think I probably got like $150,000 like in the stock market and stuff like that. So I was dumping all like my bonuses and stuff in there. And this is like from when I was 18, saving up all this money as well too from the flipping shoes. So I'm like 150. So I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna keep throwing money in there. I wasn't really trading. So 2020 come, pandemic. Mm-hmm. So this is like not really just started like 2020, like it was damn near impossible not to make money in the stock market. Yeah. It was defying everything, bro. Like a lot of shit I was doing didn't fucking make sense. I was just like, I'm making money, so fuck it. So I was literally only trading like Tesla. I was trading Facebook. I was only trading like tech stocks, mm-hmm. literally only. And I was buying Tesla at like $300 before the split. So yeah, I've been in Tesla for a minute, bro. I probably got like a quarter just in Tesla by itself. And so I learned options and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'm running it up. So COVID happened, everything getting shut down. My friends are like, stock market terrible right now. Like everybody, all my friends, I'm telling them, I'm like, bro, they're like, nah, I think I'm going to pull out. Like, one of my roommate at the time, he's like, nah, I think I'm going to pull out, bro. Like, you know, just because I get laid off and stuff. I'm like, bro, you're not going to get laid off. You in tech, dude. They need you. You'll be the last person to go, bro. They going to lay off everybody else. Like, bro, you a product manager. You're not going nowhere. Nah. And so, he's like, nah. Because, like, me, I'm the type, I'm willing to risk it all. I've always been like that. Like, if I lose, it's like, man, I'm 20, 22. I can get it back somewhere. I ain't got no kids. Yeah. So, like, everything I started doubling down on, like, 401k, doubling down on. Like, I was literally, bro, I kid you not, I was living off credit cards. Like, I was, like, my bank account was, like, $20. Like, every dime I got, I was throwing into the tech stocks. Like, every single dime, and I was trading options and stuff like that. Like, I was there, like, probably, like, $10,000-$15,000 in credit card debt just because, like, I was like, bro, it's going to go back up. Like, it can only go back up. It can't, like, the government is not going to let all this company fail.
Hell no. Thanks.
So, shit just started, like, all of a sudden, shit just started skyrocketing. Like, damn, you flip damn switch. That. Yeah, bro, like, you damn, like, you can pretty much just do a call option, and you was almost automatically going to always make money. Like, that's really how easy it was in 2020 in the stock market. Mm-hmm. So, I'm like, all right, damn. So, I'm just chilling and stuff like that. And then I had came across a tweet from Zay. He was like, people don't realize you don't got to have $1 million in your bank account. Like, your network can just be $1 million, whatever. You have $1 million in assets.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
So I'm looking, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I looked at my stock portfolio. I had, like, $800,000 in my portfolio at the time. Like, damn. I like, damn. Then I do got this property right here. It's on clearing period of $60,000. And then I have this much in cash. Oh, shit. I'm a millionaire. So it was like, damn. Like everything started paying off. And so while I'm doing this, I'm just pretty much documenting everything. Like, hey, y'all, this is where it is. Like, this is what I'm doing. And, like, I never really, like, went to the thing, like, selling stock courses and stuff like that because I never really wanted, like, I feel like when it comes to like stock market and stuff like that, I feel like everybody should know that. Like, you know, so I would like anybody hit me up, I'd be like, hey, this is the playlist. I looked at, look at it. Cool. That's what you do. And so like after that, like that's when I really started like learning how to leverage my stock portfolio and my 401k and stuff like this. So I started buying real estate, leveraging loans on my stocks and leveraging loans on my 401k. So the thing is, I avoid taxes. I mean, you don't pay taxes on borrowed money. It's a loan. I'm paying like what 3-4% interest on there, and I'm paying it back to myself. Yeah. So it was just like, it's perfect. So, but just to note, whenever you do leave your job, you have to pay that back in the 401k. Yeah, but luckily, I was making all these money moves. Like I had just met like this fire ass contractor. Man, he was making hella money. I was making like at that time $20,000-$30,000 a month. It got up to almost like 75. I was making like $75,000 a month. Off some investments and stuff I was doing. Like, it's pretty much like weed containers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So basically, like, we'll build out these containers, sell them off to like other people, resources and stuff like that, make money off of them. So I was making like $75,000 a month off that. And so I was just really just like, man, I was like, really had like built my capital and stuff like that. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let me start going to other business ventures and stuff like that. So I started going to like real estate a little bit more. I should probably have way more real estate than I have now, but I was just kind of fucking off money, you know. I ended up building like 4 different businesses with that. So I was able to buy like supercars with that. I pretty much watches and stuff like I was really like making a shit ton of money. And I was like, all right, cool. Like like focus coming to this year, I was like, all right, what I'm gonna do? Like I have all this capital, what it is that I wanna do. So now it's like this year, after I kind of just made all the capital and all the stuff like that, I'm like, this year I'm focusing on really like really making an impact and really giving back. Like I like even like last year, like I was I'm always been the type of person, like on Twitter, I'm always kind of like giving out game, I'm giving out knowledge. And you know, people like probably try to hit me up. Yeah. So yeah, so like a lot of people would try to hit me up and was like, hey, like do a consultation call. And I'm like, I can't do a consultation call because it buys the time where I do. But this content that I create for y'all,
it's free.
That's the consultation call, because I'm pretty much telling y'all what to do. At that point, you just got to take the information and Google it. Like, it's literally, I'm giving it to you, but a lot of people don't want to sit there and Google. They don't want to do that. Like, literally, I get this question. Yeah, I get the question every time. Somebody's like, hey, I got like $2,000-$3,000. What should I do with it? Go buy some education, bro. Like, learn financial literacy. Like, if I tell you what to go do with it, I can go tell you what to do with it. That don't mean you're going to know what to do. You can be like, hey, I got $3,000. What can I do? I got $10,000. What can I do? Go buy real estate. How you do that?
Exactly.
Like, you're back in square one.
Yeah, you're back in square one.
I can't Google for you.
Exactly. Especially like when you're trying to learn how to make. And that's one thing I always try to tell people, like, no matter how much money you're making, no more. You can be making 20, 15, 30, 40, 50, 100,000, 250, 300, whatever it is. You need to at least understand the basis of personal finance, because that's what's really going to set you up. Because if you like, that's like you always hear people saying, like, you can make $50,000. I mean, make $50,000, one person make $100,000. If the person that makes $50,000 is more smarter with their money, then eventually their network and stuff like that is going to be worth more than the person that makes $100,000. Because what people don't realize, you have this lifestyle creep, which I've been a victim of it twice. So, but I've always been smart on my money, and I know where to put it. So it's like, I can afford to do stuff like this. Like, when I had bought my McLaren, everybody's like, dude, that's stupid. Why would you do that? I'm like, and that's the thing. Like, when I was like doing like my course and stuff like that, people were like, oh, you bought that with the course? I'm like, bro, I haven't even touched my course money. Like, this is money I'm making off investments and stuff like that. Like, I'm touching it now, but I ain't started touching my course money until like October sometime. That's when I was like reinvesting back into it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I spent like $12,000 on a revamp. I spent like $5,000 on hiring somebody to pretty much like voice actors, project management, like my infrastructure, my website. Like, I was actually like, I took this money to go reinvest and do this now. And now I'm pretty much trying to hire like instructors and stuff like that, so I can run boot camp style things. And also I'm gonna drop this here too, because I ain't really talking about this one. But should I announce it? I'm gonna just tell. I ain't gonna tell you who I'm working with. Oh, yeah, that's gonna be perfect then. So no, me and B's, we're actually linking up.
Oh,
yeah.
That's gonna be dope.
So yeah, we're gonna actually link up. So when it comes to tech boot camps and stuff like that, you never really hear people talking about like the personal finance. You just technical skills and that's it. And so pretty much like the boot camps that we're gonna run, we're gonna integrate personal finance. Because my thing is, like, if most people that's gonna be in these boot camps, this is probably gonna be the most money they ever made in their life coming from their jobs. And so this is pretty much she's going to come in and do is she's going to be teaching them personal finance. She's going to be teaching about, like, you in a six-figure range and stuff like that, or if you end up in a range, now you can do Roth RAs at a certain point. So you got to do backdoor Roth RAs. You got to learn about sign-on bonuses. Like, some people don't know, like, say, for instance, you leave in a company with a 401k match and you got, like, $10,000 left on the table, and you go into this other company like, hey, I'm losing $10,000. Can you guys give me a $10,000 sign-on bonus? Me personally, I asked for $15,000. I'd be lying sometimes. I'd be lying, but you know, you got to ask for a little bit more.
Yeah.
Bump it up a little bit. So people don't realize you can do stuff like that. And so when, you know, in that, like, that's what we're going to teach them, like, hey, well, now you're in the tech industry, most likely you're probably going to get stock options. This is how you negotiate to get more stock options. Or this is how you negotiate to get a higher salary. This is how you negotiate to get, this is how you now actually enroll into your 401k. This is like probably how you should do it. Like, this is how you now use your 401k and invest, because not everyone know you can invest with your 401k. Right. And so that's really going to be like the big selling point in there as well too, because like once you learn technical skills, like now you're just going to fuck off the money.
Hell yeah.
And so when we add that piece to it, it's just like, oh shit, like now we know like what to do with the money now. Now we kind of setting you up for generational wealth and stuff like that. Now you learn how to invest in stocks. You know, you learn how to buy real estate. You learn how to do this stuff. Like, it's going to be at a basic level, but A lot of people don't even got that. So yeah, that's really what I've been working on. That's what I've been kind of be talking with our lawyers and stuff like that. We're really trying to get that, like, you know, trying to actually have it released by the first of March. So that's really what I've been working on for the most part with that. But yeah, man, it's just that's really what I've been working on for the most part.
That's dope though. Nah, bro, hey,
like, I got real quick one question before we hop into anything else. Bro, you was making $75K on the side of your job.
How the fuck you stay at work, nigga?
How you stay at work?
And that's not even, hold on, it's probably more than that, because you said that's just on the container shit.
I think at the height of the most money I've ever made in a month, I think like $250,000. God. And I can actually show the proof to my phone over there, just so y'all can see that. But yeah, that's the most I ever made. It was like $250,000 in 1 month.
How do you stay at a job?
Yeah, so that's the thing, bro. Like, I really enjoy tech. Like, so that's why a lot of people like, bro, by now I would have quit my job. And just $250, it wasn't profit. It wasn't all profit. It was like $150 profit. But
niggas gonna see that in a year, nigga.
So yeah, but yeah, man, it's just I really enjoy tech. Like, I really do, like, I love it. Like, that's why I left my last company. They was halting me from trading stocks. I had to get permission to buy any type of real estate. They didn't want me to give out financial advice because I worked for Citibank.
Yeah, exactly.
I was a senior insider trade engineer there. So basically, I had access to every fucking thing I wanted. Like, if I wanted inside trade, I could have inside trade. I didn't, but I could have.
No,
like,
inside trading occurs.
So yeah, so
the shit the Senate
do. Exactly. So like, I had access to like the CEO emails. Like, I had access to any and everything that I wanted. And, you know, these are investment bankers and shit. Like, so I understand why it happened. But I stayed there for like 5 months. I was like, nah, it's not gonna work, and I left. So, but overall, man, I really genuinely love what I do. Like, I mean, honestly, probably within the next year or two, I'm probably not gonna quit. Cause like you know, I'm on like my social media content creating and stuff like that on YouTube. Follow me on YouTube.
Put it out there.
Tech on tech. Yeah. So cause I'm really kind of trying to get rid of like the selling courses and stuff like that. Like, you know, more so programs. So that's kind of why I'm creating like my YouTube, and I'm really trying to make a lot of more content on Instagram. Cause I really genuinely do like giving out free information until people start DMing me and asking me 1,000 questions. That's when I be wanting to charge. Cause like, damn. But I really genuinely, like, I believe information should be free, but my time is not.
That's fair. That's fair, though.
That's really fair. So that's
to take it a step further, like, when information free, people really don't value it.
They don't. Like, they don't.
Whenever when you pay attention. The library free. How many people going there?
Exactly. Because I ain't going to lie. Like, bro, I kid you not. Like, when I was on a consultation call, when I attempted to do it, I did it for like 3 months. I made a lot of money, though. I was making like $5,000 a month on people talking to me for an hour. So, I did it. It was literally shit I was posting on my blogs. Like, bro, I was like, it got to a point, I was like, hey, did you go, like, read my blogs before you book this? You know, I still got a couple more questions. Asked me the same thing that was on my blog. So, I'm like, this one, you just wanted to talk to me.
Hell yeah.
So, I'm like, basically. All right, cool. I'll talk to you for an hour. But then as, like, you know, stuff started picking up, I started going to other business ventures and stuff like that. I was like, this not going to work. And it was, like, the same exact question. I was like, I'm not doing this. So, yeah, bro, that's what actually kind of led me to build, like, get me in tech. Because it was just, like, I had been already helping people, like, with their resumes. I had been helping people get into the tech. Just by, like, having conversations with and stuff like that. So I'm like, I could build a program that directly, like, help people do this. And so that's kind of, like, pretty much what get me in tech is, like, I'm even now, like, I'm trying to, like, I just kind of hire people. I just hire a career consultant, I want to call. So now this year, I'm trying to do, like, networking events. I'm trying to do, like, career fairs. I'm trying to do, like, virtual workshops. I'm trying to do, like, all that type of stuff. Because, like, I genuinely want to see, like, more black people in the tech industry. It's like, bro, like, I always try to tell people, like, the tech industry changed my life. Like, was tech the sole reason why I ended up becoming a millionaire at 24? No, it wasn't. It was like the money I made from it, I was able to invest and stuff like that. But it was also like the financial literacy and stuff that I learned what to do with that money. Because, I mean, man, you at 23, 24, you're making $140,000 a year.
A lot of young niggas gonna fuck that off.
Yeah.
Facts.
So it was just, a lot of young niggas gonna be in the strip club.
It's actually really interesting that you mentioned that about that, like, as far as the financial literacy and about, like, the income, like, causing those type of issues. Because I feel like a lot of people don't think about or talk about that. And you said something interesting earlier that I thought about too. You were like, I was making what, like 130K, but like I still shouldn't have been buying some of this designer stuff.
Yeah.
Like, can you kind of even speak to that portion of it as far as like people not understanding, like, you, I don't want to say you can afford it, but like, mm-hmm. I have the money in my account to be able to purchase this $800 belt. Mm-hmm. I make 130K a year. Why shouldn't I buy the belt? You know what I mean?
Well, first off, it's fucking dumb. I mean, when it comes down to it, bro, I ain't like it, that's just dumb. It holds no value.
Facts.
Like, so that's the thing. Like, it's certain things, like vices that I have that I will spend money on, which is mm-hmm. cars and watches, like, and certain shoes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, first off, that was my only really source of income. So if I really lost my job, damn, nigga, you just spent $1,000 on a goddamn belt. Why the fuck are you doing that? And then it was just also, it makes sense. Like, you got to think about it. Like, at this time, like, I did have money saved up. But it was like, all right, you lost your job and you don't get
$1,600
yeah,
worth of rent.
Yeah.
You got a new car.
You got a $700 car note. You all this. You know, and thank God I'm in tech, because if I lost my job, I would have had one.
Another. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, though, like, it's just like, now it's like, now I had a point, like, I have a certain amount of money saved up. Anything over that, it's free game. Like, I do whatever I want to do. But even now, like, I'm like, all right, I'm not doing that. Like, I kind of cut down my expenses a little bit. And it's just like, last year, which is like the dumbest shit I ever done. I kind of had like another dumb year. Mm-hmm. I think I spent like $100,000 on going out to the clubs and eating out and stuff like that. And I'm just like, bro. So no, it was like
in the club with you before.
So it was just, it was really like stupid, and it's really embarrassing, like mm-hmm. to spend that type of money, like doing dumb shit, and you have nothing to show for it. Like people really like, they're probably looking like, oh dang, like you, like no nigga, that's dumb. Like that's mm-hmm. dumb as hell. Like yeah, like yeah. It looked like I'm living life, but nigga, that's dumb as hell. Like I can live life doing traveling. Yeah, I already mm-hmm. spent $100,000 traveling last year and stuff. Like I mean, I travel, but I still haven't went out the country yet.
Damn.
No, really? I still have not went out the country yet. And that's what I'm talking about.
You got a passport?
Yeah, I got a passport.
At least you,
I got a passport.
Fact.
So I'm going out of the country in 2 weeks though. I'm going to come. But yeah, though, it was just like it was really dumb, bro. Like. Yes, I could afford it, but I could spend way more money. And I mean, don't get me wrong. If that's how people like do their self care yeah. mm-hmm. and, you know, investing in themselves. If that's what they want to do for them, then cool, that works. But that didn't work for me. Like, mm-hmm. it, and like, if you're a promoter, if you're a rapper, if you like, that's kind of like the image and stuff that you're trying to put out.
If it's a write off for you,
it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense for you to do it. But I don't want that attention. Like, I'm a businessman, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're businessmen as well, too. But, like, I want to present myself a little way. Like, I'm not going to have, like, diamond chains and stuff like that. And all. That's not my image. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, this is a Montclair coat. And, like, you wouldn't even know it. Like, mm-hmm. you just look at a regular, it's like, oh, it's a regular coat. But, like, I don't really like flashy shit like that. I mean, mm-hmm. I do, but I don't. It's different. But, like, I don't really like stuff that have, like, logos and stuff like that on it. Because it's just, like, I rather not bring that attention to myself. Like, I already talk about money a lot on social media. So it's like, when I go out and I'm having all this stuff on, it's like,
a lot of attention.
Hey, yeah, we finna get this nigga yeah. out of the club. And I go to, and I was going to the club a lot. Yeah, and I was going to the club a lot. So it's like, now I kind of like the stuff I wear. It's like kind of subtle. Like, if you know, you know. If you don't, cool. Like, I'm right. good off of it.
Like
but,
the shoes. I know what them is. Like,
that's different. Like, you know, yeah, niggas spend, I mean, yeah. my fault. People would spend money on like tennis. Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, bro. Yeah. Like, we've been cussing this motherfucker the whole time.
So yeah, nah. People would spend money on shoes and stuff like that. Ain't you know? Ain't really a big thing. Like, yeah, I mean, it is a big thing, but people kind of do that. But it just didn't make sense to me when it all came down to it.
But that's fair. You said you like to spend money on watches and of course your car.
Yeah.
Why is that?
So this watch right here. I don't know if you can see it. I bought this watch for $45,000. This watch now is worth $82,000.
Jesus.
What? Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's almost double the value.
It's almost double the value.
And how long ago did you buy it?
Like 6 months
bro,
ago.
Bro, stop playing.
6 months ago, my
nigga? Nah, dead ass.
Less than half, like half a year. It's almost worth twice
bro,
as much.
Like dead ass, like my watch collection. It's probably like worth $100,000, but like base value, no appreciation value is about 180.
Jesus. Wow.
Yeah.
So why does it go up so fast?
Market value. Basically, kind of like how tennis shoes are and stuff like that. The demand discontinued. Because this right here is actually a 15300 ST. So it's the discontinued version of the 1520 or 15202. Jumbo thing, basically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's and that watch being discontinued this year as well, too. So it's just like it's going to even go up in more price. Yeah. So that's why, like, when I bought cars, like when I bought my McLaren, I made effectively $36,000 off of it. But it was really like $28,000 that I actually like took home off of it. So it's just like all of those are like assets in a sense and stuff like that. Like I made hella money off driving my McLaren around, just meeting people and just marketing myself. Like the watches, I made a lot of money of people walking up to me, nice watch. What do you do? Because you're not just going to be sitting around with a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 watch on. You do something. Yeah, you do something. So that's...
And it ain't a bust down? You know.
Exactly. Like, I know you, like, you're some type of man in business. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you do. So when I buy stuff like that, like, yeah, it's value to me and I also make money. It's like a big-ass... S&P 500. I was to save this account, but the way watches is right now... Well, it's killing the stock market. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good. Like, this watch up like 80% right now. So, over 6 months. So,
and I guess the main difference, too, like, just to keep that in mind is like those things appreciated in value, whereas, like, I don't think a belt would do that. Like, there's no designer, like, t shirt that'll do that.
Go try to sell an $800 Louis Vuitton belt for $800. Go try to do that. They gonna look at you. I give you 400.
The only thing that I know that go up like that is them damn Birkin bags.
Yeah,
Ashley Ann told
and Chanel bags.
Ashley Ann told
Chanel
us about
be
like the
one thing like Birkin.
I don't know. I don't really know bad, but I know Chanel prices been going up lately. Man.
But and then even that goes back to like what you had said before, which is like understanding like. Exclusivity, the rarity of it, like did it get decommissioned and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like one of my homeboys, he was telling me the other day, like he about to he was like he got a Hellcat and he gonna flip it. And I was like, what you mean? He was like, yeah, now they about to discontinue it. Yeah. And I'm just waiting for them to do that. Yeah. Cause as soon as they do, like my car gonna be like triple where it's worth right now. Yep. I'm like, dead ass? Yep. Like, yeah.
That's
bro.
What happened with the G Wagons. Like G Wagons 100 grand over sticker price. Yeah. Like I was trying to get one. But like literally when I went up there, they was like 300. Jesus. Ain't no negotiating. 300. And I was like,
y'all can kiss my ass.
There you go.
Y'all can kiss my ass.
$300,000 for a goddamn Mercedes. Hell, nah, my hell, nah. I go buy Urus. Them all also spend more expensive than Uruses right now.
Oh, hell. Nah, champ. Nah.
Exactly.
I was at Echo Park the other day, they sold one of them bitches for like, I think it was like close to 200.
What was 200?
A G-Wagon.
That must be G550.
I'm not even sure. That was G550.
Yeah, just sold that bitch. That was G5. But even then, a G550 for 200, them all like 140 before this.
They're not worth it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, no, bro, no.
You couldn't buy a house.
Yeah. Facts?
An appreciating asset.
But, the car is appreciating if you think about it.
Yeah.
But that was... But that was part, that was why I wanted to ask that though, because like people, the first thing the folks will go to is like most of the people don't have those options. Like, yeah, they won't be able to go between like buying a house or buying a car. Like, who got the bread to be able to do that type of stuff? But it's like, all right, cool. Now we talking with somebody who do got it, and they're saying like, yeah, nah, nigga, the belt's still stupid. Like,
yeah, that shit's stupid.
The other shit's still stupid.
No, like, that shit's still stupid, bro. I ain't gonna lie, I never, bro. I would never. But that bitch lasts though. Yo, I'm not gonna lie, it do last. But it ain't.
Shit, you may as well. I can't resell the motherfucker.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie, bro. The bitch, like, and I ain't gonna lie, like, there are like certain things, like designer, like backpacks or the duffel bags. Like when I'm traveling and stuff like that, I want to look good. You know, I create content now, so you know, I want to take a picture, have a video recording. It looks good,
right?
But it's a reason why I'm doing that, though. Mm-hmm. It's not just necessarily just like it's a reason why it was right off too. But yeah, it looks good.
I got a question about like the credit cards too, because you know you said you live strictly off of credit cards. Even and I ain't gonna lie, after reading your tweet about that shit, I was like, nigga, I'm about to start doing the same fucking thing. So now I just swipe my card, but like, I pay that bitch off before the statement date. What made you want to start doing that?
So, what made me want to do that? Because the thing was, because my mom didn't have, like, really good credit. Like, so that's also another reason why I had to kind of, like, flip shoes and stuff like that to go to college. Because I had to pay a little bit out of pocket. And because her credit wasn't good enough to get, like, the Parent Direct Plus loan or something like that. Yeah, I know. So, yeah, so I had to get, like, another loan and stuff like that. And so, like, from the seat embedding, like, Tay, you got to have good credit. Like, because she didn't really have nobody teaching her. Like, she didn't really know too much about it. But she was just like, hey, any bill you get, pay it on time. Yeah. So, like, it stuck with me. And I'm just like, all right, cool. Like, I ain't really, like, I knew pay bills and stuff on time. But I didn't really understand how bad it would hurt you until I got to college. It got me a little Wells Fargo credit card. They gave me a $2,000 limit. I'm like, $2,000?
You like, uh-oh. Shit, I can swipe anywhere. Hey, I'm
swiping.
And so, went to Denver.
And so this is the thing, too, though. Like, so, like, and this is kind of like the thing. Mom was like, only use that credit card for emergencies. And so, at the time, it sounded like a good idea. Mm-hmm. It really did. But then as I got older, I was like, why the hell would I use a credit card with a 20% interest rate as an emergency if I ain't got the money to pay for it?
Yeah.
That shit don't make sense.
Yeah.
And so as I just started, and then this one I kind of started against like travel hacking and points hacking and stuff like that. And so I just started, like, I think I was reading, like, looking at Axebi, a guy on YouTube.
I know Axebi, yeah.
So, like, I just started kind of like fun. This is like right when I was graduating. Like, so this one I really kind of just really got into like the credit cards and stuff like that. So I'm like, damn, like, I can travel. All right, cool. Like, and so this one, I really started doing it. I had started, like, after I left my first job, I started consulting, and they gave us, like, an Amex card, and we get to keep the points. And so not only was I getting points, I was getting flight points for that, and I was also getting hotel points. And I was staying at hotels Sunday through Thursday 3-4 times a month.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just racking up on points. So I'm just looking. I'm like, damn, I got all these points. I got all these statuses. Let me actually kind of start researching this. Mm-hmm. Bro, I haven't paid for a flight or a hotel in like 3-4 years.
Really?
That, like, really? Since that job, I have not paid for a flight. I haven't paid.
You had all that built
and
up.
And not only that, because also now I have businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so even with just like my e-commerce stuff and stuff like that, I would spend like $20,000 to $30,000 a month on inventory. And then I'm getting like 3-4 times the points off that. And I'm getting 120,000 points per month. Oh, and then not to mention, like, you know, the traveling that I'm doing, I'm getting 5 times points off my American Express card. And if I am paying for hotels and stuff like that, you know, and it is sometimes I will pay for it. I'm like, it makes more sense for me to pay for this and use my points. I do that. I'm getting 5 times points, like $200-$300 for a flight. I'm not using my points for that. Like,
yeah.
I'd rather just pay for that and get the 5 times the points and stuff like that. So I guess I kind of lied and I said I ain't paid for it, but I ain't had to pay for it with that. But yeah, it was just like, I was really like, I think I probably got, like, close to 1 million Hilton points right now.
Jesus.
And so, like, I literally, like, even today, I literally bought the cheapest room. They upgraded me to the best room they got. So, I went from upgrading from, like, a room that was, like, $200 per night to a room that's, like, $800 per night. Because I'm a diamond member, and you automatically get upgrades. Yeah, you always get an upgrade. So, now, like, traveling, I don't really spend money on that. Like, I get upgrade. I've never in my life bought a first class ticket, but I always manage to get upgrade to first class. Like, I, yes. Yeah, Lord, like,
bro. I did not know that. Like,
yeah, bro.
So when you reward, like, people look at it like, oh man, you shouldn't do the reward points because then you just end up paying more. But you're getting all these benefits.
Yeah, like, if you travel, like, bro, like, my trip to Cabo,
that part,
$0. The hotel I'm staying at, $4,000. Didn't pay one penny. The flights I got, didn't pay one penny for it. Whole trip free off points.
Damn. That's hard.
Yeah,
that's
bro.
When I started swiping that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, bro. Like, especially you got business expenses, like, especially people that be like running ads and stuff like that. American Express Gold Card, get 4 times the points.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So, yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. And you got people that be spending 10, 15, 20, 100 grand a month on ads.
Yeah.
That's half a million points right there.
Right back.
That, bro, I'm telling you, like, you, like, it's, bro, the credit card game is, like, you got to be able to pay it off, though. So that's what a lot of, like, So the American Express Platinum and the Gold cards, those are charge cards. So you do have to pay them off, or they're going to hit you with like a nasty interest rate. So that is a downfall. You got to really be financially smart with it, because they'll definitely hit you. And the annual fees are pretty expensive as well, too. I think for like my business platinum, like $700. So, but the perks you get is crazy.
If you getting
all before the statement thing.
Yeah, for sure.
If you get them shits, like you said, you getting hotel rooms for free and all that. That $700 is small and
continue. Oh no, so that ain't even including that. So all right, so let's take for instance my platinum business card. I actually prefer the personal one, but it's just like I spend way more money. Like on my platinum card right now, I can spend up to $150 in one transaction. Like I can go buy a car on that card, swipe it, and pay it off. Like, that's the thing about I love about the American Express, like, the platinum card and charge card. Like, it goes based on your spending habits. So, it can increase one time or it can decrease, but it's really dope. Like, it's really dope. So
credit card gym.
Yeah, nah, because, like, I know for my American Express card, you get a $200 credit. That's already, that's $500 right there. You get Global Entry, which is, or TSA, it's $85. So, that's $285. Yeah, you get it for free.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you get Clear,
yeah, TSA
each
clear.
Year, so yeah, you get clear. Clear is like $179.
Yeah, no, that's
so that's another $200.
How
so twofold.
Clear gets you through the airport. Like,
oh, you get there fast, bro.
Bro, I go to Atlanta Airport like 45 minutes from my flight and still make it on time. And if y'all know Atlanta,
you live in dangerous, my boy.
Exactly, bro. And I
went, I was like, damn, yeah, long.
Exactly. And I get to clear and all that.
45 minutes,
and I'm still on the plane.
Hey, that's worth $700.
Exactly. And then you got like the Centurion Lounge, and then with my card, like, because it's the business card, I get $200 Dell credit, so I go spend $200 per year at Dell. I be buying all types of shit. Yeah, all that. $200. Then, Indeed, if you're trying to hire people and stuff like that, they give you $100 credit for Indeed. Then they give you a $10 credit per month for your phone, internet bill, and stuff like that. They give you $10 per month for that. I'm probably missing a couple more perks, too. Damn. Like, and then you get, like, asset, like, when you start really making money and stuff like that, you get discounts on private jets and stuff like that. So, it's nice. The perks are nice.
Perks
are
having good credit.
Yeah. Exactly. And crazy thing about it, bro, you'll be surprised, bro. I know people that was getting approved for this car like at 675s and 660s and stuff like that. Probably not now because of COVID. They a little bit more stricter and stuff like that. Because I ain't going to lie, they wouldn't approve me for them motherfuckers for nothing. Like, I just got approved for it like 4 or 5 months ago. Like, they went, like, and it's the business one. They went, bro, they would not give it to me at all. And I'm just like, bro, right? Like, y'all. Yeah. Like, yeah. But now, though, like, I think, like, the second one I had, I could spend up to $150,000 in one transaction. So, using OPM.
Say, Tay, who palm you had degrees? Who palm you had degrees? Hey, baby, I got it. You know what I'm saying? Let me get that.
Oh, man, bro. It was really, man, really just, like, learning the system, bro. Like, I probably had, like, 50 credit cards. Like, my wallet right now, only credit cards.
Did you say 50 credit cards?
Yeah, like, I keep my American Express, the Platinum. I keep the gold. I actually have 2 golds. It's in there. Yeah, and then my 2 Chase credit cards. Like, I only keep
cards.
Credit cards.
Credit card.
Yeah.
Credit card. Not even debt there, baby.
Because, you know, like, why would I spend my money?
Video that dude had mentioned that. Like, it makes sense. If somebody steal your debit card or run up a bunch of transactions.
Bro, they not getting money.
Don't do about it.
I kid you not, dog. Like, check this out. Whenever you get, like, you report fraud and stuff in your credit card, bro, they gonna go fight for their money. Yo, I'm gonna fuck. That's your money, bro. I'm gonna fuck. Like, you know what I mean? That's just like you was like somebody lost money. Like, what? That's your money. Like, I hope you find it. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm good.
But when it's
here,
when
it's
they lost your money, it's you ready to fight?
Yeah, it's a whole different situation.
I'm ready to fight, nigga. That's my money. Like, what you mean you lost my money? So that's why it is with banks too. And I'm always me personally. I'm always use OPM. I don't care what I'm doing.
Heck yeah.
I got a question.
What you got, Kelly? Because I want to ask about the e-commerce.
So how is it whenever you go back to Mississippi? Is it a different atmosphere? Do you go back in the flashy car? What is it like?
Did you take the McCarran back and go flex on niggas? I know you took it back to Mississippi. Like, no?
Bro, when I go back home, I go see my family. I get out and go. Like, I go probably see a handful of, not two people. I go back, like, that was high school friends, and I go hang out with them. And so my thing is, okay, so I'm kind of hit on the friend aspect of things. So, like, kind of like going like in high school and stuff like that. I played sports and stuff like that, but I wanted to say I had a lot of friends. I had like people I was like cool, social and stuff like that. But it's only like two, maybe three people that I actually still kind of keep in touch with that. And a lot of them, like a lot of their friends, stuff like that, like drug dealers, scammers, and shit like that. And so back at home, the police officer they know who the drug dealers, they know who it is. So they know who it is. And so like, and I really respect my friends off that, because like if they're like, hey, I'm with such and such, probably ain't the best time to be around. But I'm finna leave from him. I'm gonna be at the crib, pull up. And so like, I really respect that about like my friends back at home and stuff like that, because they know like not to put me in a situation like that that can probably end up like fucking me up, because they know like they know everything that's doing it. But as far as family and stuff like that, like I have a really supportive family for the most part. Like I go back home, like, oh, I'm so proud of you. Like my mama just kind of found out how much money, she don't even really know how much money, but she just kind of recently started to feel like, all right, this nigga doing a little too much, like what you doing and stuff like that. So yeah, it's, you know, it's really like, it's always a joy. Like I don't really like going back home and stuff like that. All right, because I mean, it's all, always only been me and my mom and I guess my great aunt, who I call my grandma. So it's always just kind of been us and stuff like that. So it's kind of like I'm always like I've always been the only child, so it's like I'm used to being by myself and stuff like that. So I mostly just like fly my mom out to Dallas or wherever case may be and stuff like that. But when I go back home, like, oh, Tay, we miss you. Like, how everything been? Like, it's always a good feeling. It's a good atmosphere. So it's always good. At least ain't like no crazy shit. Like them trying to, you know how you have some family members, they'll say, look, let's slick shit.
Let me hold a hundred. Yeah. Let me get the
hundred off you. Yeah, so I don't do that.
You know, I used to hold you when you was a boy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I feel like come on, bills and shit like that.
You be pulling up old shit that you
had nothing to do with. Let me get
$50. Did anybody tell you to cut my hair, nigga? You wanted to do that shit.
And then you'd be like, nigga, you used to push my line back. I don't even fuck with you.
Yeah, so I don't deal with it. I mean, like my outside cousins and stuff like that, they're probably like, oh, but it ain't never nothing crazy. And like, hey, give me $20. All right, here you go, man. Like, but it ain't, yeah.
Hey, man, let me hold two bags.
Yeah, nah, it ain't never been nothing crazy like that. And then, like, my great aunt, who I consider my grandma, I pay her bills. So it's like, it ain't nothing she really gonna ask for. I pay your bills. What you need? She's like, what else you need? Yeah,
that's
take
fair.
Your money and do what you want to do. But, that's fair. Yeah. It's really y'all love when I go back home, though.
That's dope. That's
man. Take one of the last things I wanted to get into with you, bro. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, the e-commerce stuff, right? So I know you done had all us going crazy with the Walmart automation and the Amazon automation. I remember whenever I seen it, you posted on your story, I was like, what the hell is he doing? Like, what is this? Like, can you talk about what Walmart automation and Amazon automation is? Like, how that work?
Yeah, bro. Basically, man, it's really so fucking simple. It's just the operations that's behind it. So, me personally, I don't run my store. Dawson, I'm actually run my store, but it's under my company name, TMP Commerce, whatever. But basically, man, at a basic level concept, you're just buying products at a, like, low price and selling it, like, they got contracts with, like, these wholesalers and stuff like that. So they're actually buying the product. Like, say, for instance, like, these glasses or something like this. Like, you probably, this glass probably, like, let's say $3. But they'll probably buy, like, a bulk of more of 100 for 25 cents each one. So it's, like, a high volume type of thing. So, like, the more money you make based on, like, the products and stuff like that. And the products is, you know, I can't really tell you all the products. But you know, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised on what you can make money off of and stuff like that. But yeah, that's basically what it is. You getting something that pretty much what every other company is doing. And then the real thing about it is like when you're on like Walmart, Amazon, stuff like that, you don't have to pay for advertisement because these people are going here and search for these items like every day. So you cut money off advertisement as well too. So it's just like boom, and you're getting it for cheaper as well. So.
Oh, so like whenever I go on Amazon and like I'm clicking a product and they like telling me a certain carrier or something like that or a store or something like that's who
that's the seller.
That's you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So
yeah, when you buying all this stuff, that case and stuff like that, you buying it from somebody.
From
yeah, you buying somebody that
Amazon's
has
not selling
an actual store.
Yeah, no. Amazon just have the platform because they know everyone's going there and you just pay them a certain commission fee to host your items on there.
See, I didn't know that. I always wonder how that worked, because I heard like Walmart automation, like Amazon automation and stuff, and I was just like, what are they doing? Yeah.
This was Dawson. Dawson don't like the word automation. Because it's like, it's automated for us.
But it's not for him. Like, but for him.
Making deals and buying stuff. Bro, for him, that's a lot of goddamn work. Like, man, payroll for them was high six figures.
I can imagine, because I think I heard you say before, like, the entry, you, like, need a minimum of, like, 10K to get into that, right? 50? It's
50? I think it's, like, 30 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember like when I was looking at it.
Yeah, it was 50 at one point. Sheesh. Yeah, but it's like, but that's the thing, like, they kind of figured it out, like, to a T now and stuff like that. So it's like, all right, now we ain't spending as much money and stuff like that. They got the warehouses. Because, like, a lot of people, whenever they don't like Amazon and stuff like that, they actually ship their products to Amazon warehouses. Amazon is selling and stuff like that. But they actually have their own warehouse as well as their own return warehouses. So whenever a product is, like, shipped out, and if it's returned or for a defect, something like that, it don't go to your front door or anything like that. It actually goes to their return warehouse. And they send it back to the manufacturer and stuff like that. You get a refund for it and stuff like that. So, I mean, I love the money. It's easy. Like, it ain't a lot. Like, probably I make, like, on average, like, $5,000-$6,000. I've had some months where I made, like, $20,000. But, like, holiday season, black. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I love it. Like, it's, I mean, one thing about, like, the automation that I do kind of want is everybody crying ahead, like, the good thing is that, oh, he's making money. I'm gonna be real with you. Anything that's printing money like that, it's gonna be some problems. Yeah. So you just don't just think everything is all peaches and cream and stuff like that. It has been issues and stuff like that where we have to kind of resolve it. And you at the mercy. You at the mercy of you on a different platform. So it's just like, all right, man, we don't like the carrier you're using for shipment. We're gonna suspend you. Like that shit like that.
You at their mercy.
You at their mercy. Yeah. So you really have to follow those terms and policies to a T. And that's why I kind of like, because I always kind of want to get into it, but I just don't trust people. Like, I don't trust sending a random person I see on the internet advertising lifestyle marketing to get into this, because it's just like, oh, like, nigga, I ain't dumb. And it's just like they won't do your shit. Like, they won't really just abide by the terms and stuff like that. And stuff like that, you gotta really follow the shit by the T, cause that kick you off their platform. Walmart for sure, but Amazon, they're a little bit more mature. Walmart, they're kind of younger and stuff like that, so they're still trying to figure everything out. But Amazon is here to stay. Walmart is too, but they still working out a lot of kinks and stuff.
Gotcha.
Man, so, all right, y'all. Now, This is a bit petty.
I heard that you're going to.
This is a bit petty, but I do want to bring it up, right? Because I think Jalen or Kelly had mentioned it, that you saved Twitter. All right, Tay, man. Let me know the reasoning and just the whole course of action behind the exposition of Brandon Jones, right? I don't think we've ever actually addressed it as BWR. Probably before, but a previous guest of ours was outed for shady practices by Tay, actually, on the internet. And it was a whole discourse behind it. I think Twitter was up in arms about it. Shit, niggas still tweeting about that shit, to be honest.
Yeah, niggas still. I think somebody just tweeted about it like a week ago.
Yeah. Well, what was the whole thing with that, bro?
Like, y'all went to, like, the real raw truth.
Hey, fuck it. Say the truth.
I know the wealth Twitter world wants to hear it. LLC Twitter needs it.
And in all honesty, like, because, like, I'm a real prideful about my name. And, like, he kind of he associated himself with us. We associated with ourselves with him as well, too. And so, LLC Twitter is what they group us as. And it's just like, oh, they all run together and stuff like that. And so, like, I felt played, and also just like it was a play on my name as well too. Cause like, oh, y'all all hang out together. Like, no. I don't hang out with him. I've met with him once in Atlanta when everybody was there. So and it was just that, and it was also just a simple fact of like it was like a lot of people like hitting us, like me directly for sure, hitting me up in deals like, hey, bro, like I sent them this much money. Like I ain't heard from him. Keep giving me excuses. And so in my head, I'm just like. Like, what? Like, not this nigga. Like, you know, like, because in my head, like, yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Like, it didn't make sense. It was just like, So and all these people in there, like people saying like, oh yeah, he was like DM me talking about like, let me flip your money. So I'm like, why would a nigga that got nine figures like
DM so, you about this shit?
And so in my head too, also this is like when I'm kind of starting to like actually start make money. Like I hadn't just really like had the type of money I had, but I had a decent amount of money. And so I couldn't really like imagine what nine figures really is. And I started thinking, I was like, nigga, this Grant Cardone and fucking Rick Ross, not even Rick Ross. Like Rick Ross, like yet. 30, 40 mil or some shit like that. And I'm looking at this nigga lifestyle. I'm looking at Grant Cardone. I'm looking at like all the people that got jets and shit. I'm like,
don't add up.
What the fuck is this money? Like, you know what I mean?
The
so,
math.
Yeah. So people started kind of hitting me up and like, just, I was like, all right, bro, this is way too many people. Like, yeah, it got to the point. I think I calculated like damn near close to half a mil. Like that ass, like I probably had calculated like close to that, probably like 400.
People that reached out to you,
yeah, like money they gave to him and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, so it's quite obviously either like he's like just scamming people on purpose, or he got fucked in the deal and couldn't pay people and trying to get people to run around. But still in my head, like you got nine figures, just pay people out of your pocket. So I started like really just kind of doing my research. So, yeah, so I just started trying to do my research and stuff like that. And I was just like, I'm looking, like, because the only thing that kept sticking was, like, the stock market. I was like, man, nigga, that show the stock market. Like, I didn't see his portfolio. Like, you can't fake that. Like, right. It's on iPhone now. So, me being the researcher I am, I just started, like, researching shit. And I saw it. I was like, bro, this nigga been faking. Once I found out the portfolio was fake, I was like, oh, this nigga been lying for sure. And I just started looking at everything. I was like, oh, all this shit starting to make sense. And so it was just like, I mean, I got to say something. Like, I can't, you know, because at that point, like, if I don't say nothing.
You feel like a fuck nigga.
Yeah, like, I'm kind of like the person I'm enabling him to do that. And then he is attaching himself, like, I'm not going to name people, but he is attaching himself to, like, a lot of people, a lot of prominent people with great names that's in that space and taking advantage of, like, you know, these people, like, platforms and stuff like that. To get people to buy into his image and stuff like that. And so it was just really like, it was just kind of like a fucked up situation. Like, and I mean, I ain't even do it. Like, and a lot of people are like, oh, like, you know, you're not a king. I'm like, bro, I didn't do that shit. I don't even, like, first off, I ain't even LLC Twitter. I'm S Corp Twitter.
Talk that shit.
But yeah, but it was just like, this shit was stupid. I don't know. It was just kind of one of the things I just felt like, because I mean, my type of person, like, I'm really like, I'm a confrontational type of person. Like, if I feel like something's kind of done wrong or something like that, I'm going to say something about it. Like, to your face, social media, where the case may be. I mean, because at that point in time, like, it ain't like I'm like, hey, bro, like, you are fucking niggas, like, what you needed. Like, nah, it's 20, 30, 40, like, 40 people that you fucking know. Right, so at this point, it's like, it's you and you getting these people off social media through the use of our, like, content, through the use of our platforms and stuff like that. So where it's happened to that, I feel like that's where it should have been addressed to that. Like, it would have been a different thing if, like, something else would have happened. I was like, hey, bro, like, I'm hearing, like, what's up with this? Like, come to you as a man and, like, ask you about a situation. But it was, like, you was using our platform to make money and scam people. So,
yeah. Real tough.
So, yeah, that was really it with that one.
I just know that shit had broke the internet. I just wanted to ask about it.
Yeah, like, bro. Man. People had made like articles on it and YouTube videos. Like somebody, I was like, "What the fuck?" So yeah, I was like, "It's just crazy." Yeah, nigga made a YouTube video on it.
So I know we got to get ready for dinner, man. It's almost 10 o'clock, so we can get into this last section, last question that you ask because you're closer to the.
All right, cool deal. So Tay, my man, I know we done went over a lot today. But what is one personal finance tip or principle that you would like to lead the people with that you live by?
Is it don't buy the belt?
Don't buy the belt.
That's one of them. But really live within your means. Like that's, for me, live within your means. Because like it's real, especially like in social media and stuff like that, you have people, and Andre kind of talked about it too, like, you know, is it fraud or
frugal or you fraud?
Yeah.
And so, like, that's really, like, a real thing. Because, like, you have people that, like, bro, I was so shocked about this. People really go broke to go look good on social media and stuff like this. Like, I know y'all probably seen on social media when people was going on, like, these fake jet trips.
Bro, that shit bust my head.
And they was taking pictures and stuff like
that.
What?
Like,
they go to
the
fake
jets?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they just go to the studio.
It's a whole studio.
Like, nigga, they got a fake plane. And in the plane, they got like fake windows that look like you on a jet.
Just so you can take a picture and put it on Instagram. So It's
LA. And niggas pay for it. Yeah. They pay to go to the studio to do this.
Yeah. Wait, you pay for that, sir?
Yes.
You
pay for that. That's the life of social media. And so that's the thing, bro. You don't realize, like, people don't, like, you have people that's really, like, going broke to look good on social media. I was watching some video. This girl with $50,000 in debt to be an Instagram influencer so she can travel and take pictures and shit. And that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, bro, like, y'all, like, people, they be trying to really judge their life off social media and stuff like that, bro. Mm-hmm. You would be surprised. Like, say, for instance, like, the situation we just talked about. Like, everybody was like, damn, like, I'm not doing enough for my life. Like, what is it? Whole time this nigga was a fraud. You was trying to judge your life off a lie. Yeah. And a lot of people, it's only really a handful of people, like, on social media that's really about what they talk about. Like, it's only a handful of them. Because I've met, like, a lot of people on Twitter and hung out with them. I was like, these motherfuckers lying. they cap. Like, I done hung out with a few people, and I just like, all right, nigga, this ain't adding that what you was talking about on social media. And so it's really definitely when people get drunk and they get around you and stuff like that, you be like, nigga, you lying. Like, but, yeah, it's just like people just really stop judging your life and stop basing your financial success off of what people doing in social media, man. Run your race. Whenever it's your time to do what you're gonna do, if it's meant for you to do, it's gonna happen. Like, you see everybody talking about, it's just a lot of money. Oh, I made $1 million a year. But how much did they actually spend? How much was actual profit? What was the net? Like, you know, you made $1 million, but it was only net $100,000. Still great money. Great money. And also, they gotta have money to spend that and stuff like that. But it's just like,
it's a different story.
It's a big ass difference.
Stories. I made $1 million versus I made $100,000.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, especially like with this e-commerce and stuff like that, people get on social media. I made $40,000 this month. Nigga, only $3,000 a day is net.
Actual profit, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, bro, niggas be lying. Stop judging. I guarantee you, bro, it's literally only a handful of people that are really like, straightforward and under with you on the internet. All that lifestyle marketing and stuff like that, bro, them cars be rented.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but them cars be rented, bro. Like them boats and stuff you be seeing people on, 20 people went in on that. That section they was in, 10 people went in on a $200 bottle, bro. You good. Run your race, I'm telling you. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, y'all, like, yeah, they be so fixated on this. Yeah, bro. Like, bro, I see it. 10 niggas on one bottle. At a club, $250. It's $25 a piece, bro. Like, that life, it's not what it seems like, bro. I'm telling you, like, the facade. Niggas be lying.
I'll never forget that shit that you, I think Zay had put that up there. Some dudes that came in y'all section to take a picture with the bottles. I was like, yo, that's wild. Like,
when it was in Miami, a nigga came to the section, took the bottle, and left, nigga. I was like, bro, what the fuck are you doing? And I went go get the bottle from him. He tried to kind of come at me. I'm like, nigga, this not even your shit.
And we was just with the nigga that bought the shit.
Exactly. Yo,
that's true.
But yeah, bro, like, I'm telling you, bro, people do anything for a flick on social media, bro.
That shit wild.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, dog.
That validation.
That's wild, bro. Like, people would drive themselves crazy for the validation of people they never don't even give a fuck about them.
Even though they exist.
Yeah. Imagine caring about somebody. And that's why I love TikTok too. Like, people I've never seen in my life be talking shit. I'd be like, hell yeah. And I entertain it. It's funny. But yeah, bro, that's really it. Stop looking at social media for validation, especially when it comes to personal finances. Motherfuckers be lying.
Message. Yes. Real shit. Well, Tay, brother, gotta let you know.
Let them know where they can follow you. Yeah. Plug and everything.
All right, bet. My social media is on Instagram is tayontech.io. And please be aware, I have a lot of fake pages, bro. I would never, ever DM you asking for any type of money whatsoever. So, tayontech.io. My Twitter is tayontech. My TikTok is tayontech. And my website is tayontech.io, which is the exact same as my Instagram.
Bet. I bet, man. Y'all tap in. Get me in tech, man. We gotta have to put that down in the show notes for everybody that's interested. And yeah, tell you, just gotta tell you thank you again, bro. Like I said, long overdue, highly long anticipated, and not one to disappoint. This has definitely been one for the books.
Thank you for having me, man.
For sure, bro. And before we get out of here, y'all, we're gonna hop into a couple house cleaning items. Once again, y'all, thank you for listening. Leave that 5-star rating and review for your boys.
We need
to get this message out to the people, right?
Subscribe. Share it with your family and friends.
Write an actual review. I know you may think it take long. It take a few seconds, but it does a lot for us to continue to grow the show. If you've been listening week in and week out, just do us that one little favor. We be seeing it. We get tens of thousands of listeners on an episode. But y'all want to take a couple seconds to write a review, man.
But everybody
good.
That do write a review, we appreciate it.
Right. But y'all, that ain't, I'm on y'all ass. Write that shit. Bet. All right, niggas. What else we got for the people?
Hey, man, subscribe. Go to BWR Academy. You subscribe to our academy. You learn everything from financial investing to accountability, coaching. To
like some of the stuff that Tay was talking about, like with your 401k, Roth IRA. We got our guy, Wes. He's a financial advisor in there.
We got everything from stock courses to crypto courses, so tap in with us.
Man, and on that note, y'all, this is Black Hawk from the Sun.
Check on my stocks. See how they looking. And I'm sliding out. When you start seeing your progression, you stop having doubts. And what's the point of having clout if you can't cash it out?
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.